Hello and welcome to the Ship Energy podcast with me, Ariane Morrissey. This week, I'm proud to launch a new series, which is putting the spotlight on our industry's first movers. Those who, for better or for worse, have decided to become among the first to take the plunge, trial and adopt new fuels, technologies, or green practices. My aim here is to go beyond headlines and initial announcements and answer one core question. How is it going for those first movers once green technologies are installed and part of their operations? We're starting this series with a company that was an early adopter of wind propulsion in shipping. Scandlines, a ferry company that operates routes between Denmark and Germany, installed rotor sails on MV Copenhagen back in 2020 and on a second vessel, MV Berlin, 2 years later. My guest this week has been involved in the project throughout its preparation, installation, and performance evaluation. Rasmus Nielsen is a naval architect and officer at Scandlines. Welcome to the podcast, Rasmus.
Thank you very much.
First, I'd like you to take us back to 2019, when Scandlines was making the decision to become one of the first shipping companies to install rotor sails on one of its vessels. Could you tell us what were the key motivations at the time? What were the main concerns? And what was it that ultimately tipped the balance and convinced you to make the jump?
We have been looking into this green technology for many years, so this is not something new that we started to look into in 2019. So we have been working with this for many years to try to reduce the fuel consumption on board the vessels. So we are monitoring all the different kind of new technologies and equipment that can reduce the fuel consumption on board and make a more green operation of our vessels. In 2019, we have been followed the development of rotor sail for some years. We could see that some other ship owners had installed rotor sails and had some experience with that. So we started to look into that and try to find out if this was a benefit for our operation and on our route. And so we have been working with the rotor sail for some time, and it seems to be possible to make a installation on board our vessels that could benefit our green agenda in Scandlines.
And in retrospect, would you say that it was a good decision? Because we're some 4 years after the first installation. So are you happy with the result?
Yeah, I think definitely we're happy with the result. So I think we have made a lot of things for reducing the fuel and so on. But definitely the rotor sail is the installation which has got the most publicity in the news and around us, so it's very visible. So it's in this way it has been a very interesting project. Also in the respect of the result that we have seen from the rotor sail, we made a two steps project where we made the first installation on board Copenhagen. Of course, we had some performance of the rotor sail that we would like to have documented before we start the second installation in Berlin. So the first 2 years was, of course, to have the first installation, see that the performance was according to what has been promised and so on, and make sure that we have a stable operation, and it actually also delivered what was expected in our project. So.
And were there any lessons from the first installations that you were able to apply for the second installation 2 years later?
We have some issues with the rotor sail that have to be fixed. It's still, you can say, it's a retrofit installation on existing vessels. So we had some challenges with the vibration on board the vessel and the foundation and so on. So we had some small correction and adjustment to be done and so on to have it running in a stable way. So this was fixed during the first installation and a small modification on the rotor sail was also made. So you can say all this learning from the first one was adapted to the second one. And of course, the performance of the rotor sail itself, so it's very important for us. So in order to document that, we actually took the vessel out of service one night where we make some speed test force and back with the vessel in different angles to the wind and with the rotor sail in operation and without. So we actually have very good documentation for the performance was according to what has been promised and what has been put into our business case. So this is, you can say, some follow-up issues that we have taken on the first installation to be sure that our business case and our project is going to deliver what is expected.
Really interesting what you're saying, because it kind of demonstrates that there's, in a way, a certain risk from a technology or performance point of view in being a first mover. Would you agree with that?
Of course, there is some risk, but on the other hand, I will also say that we're not doing that and say, oh, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. We're doing this, of course, because we believe that this is a good installation and we believe this is going to be a success. But anyway, we need to document it anyway. So it's important that we can document our projects and make sure that is working according to what we have planned and expect. So this is a part of, you can say, our project.
And as you say, documenting that project has been an essential part of it, which brings me to my next question about the results. We're an industry driven on data, on facts, on evidence. So can you describe what have been the results so far in terms of emissions reductions, fuel savings, return on investment?
Yeah, for the performance of the rotor sail, we do see an average saving of 4 to 5% of the fuel consumption of the rotor sail. And of course, the rotor sail is very depending on the wind. So if there is no wind, or if the wind is against the western actually, you have a negative benefit of the rotor sail, because then you have to use more energy to sail the vessel. And of course, in the very windy days where we have a strong wind in the right direction, then actually we see savings for 20 to 30% of the vessel's propulsion. So you can say it depends from day to day and how the wind is blowing. But at the end of the day and on a full year, we do see a saving of this approximately 4 to 5%. In respect of, you can say, the return of investment, it is, you can say, the cost for the rotor sail is the cost that we have to pay for the installation. The running cost is very small, so there is no significant running cost for that. We, of course, we have to use some electricity to turn the rotor sail. But otherwise, it's very much depending on the fuel cost of the vessel. What kind of fuel is it burning? What is the price of the fuel? So this is very much depending if the business case is going to, or the return of the investment is following what has been expected, or if it's better or worse. And actually today, with new requirements for ETS and fuel EU is coming, this actually just makes the installation of the rotor sail much better than actually when the decision was taken in 2019 to do the installation.
And you talked about an averaged emissions savings of about 4 to 5% on a yearly basis. Did that meet your expectations? Were you happy with those results?
This was also what is in the business case, so in the project before we started.
And now you've alluded to it already, but whenever a new technology is introduced on board a vessel, there's always a number of impacts on operations, not least in terms of training. So could you explain how did you prepare your teams, and then how did your crews react to the announcements that there was going to be that new wind propulsion technology on board?
Yeah, of course, we need to have a talk with the crew and look into the tasks that have to carry out with a new technology and a new installation and so on. But this is also very important for our decision to install the rotor sail. So actually, the rotor sail is more or less fully automatic. So the requirement for the crew is very small. And if something goes wrong, we can just stop the rotor sail. So this was actually one of the benefits in the project, that we decided, okay, this is a good idea to install the rotor sail on board the vessel, because it actually very limited of resources for the crew to have this installed. Some of the other wind technologies is more complicated and require more manpower on board and so on. So this is very important for us to have this as a part of our project. Of course, if it was another project with more advanced technology and so on, then of course it's a key to make sure that the crew is familiar with the new technology and can handle it in the right way. Otherwise, you will not have success with the installation of new technologies.
And would you say that your team members, your crew were apprehensive or were they enthusiastic about the idea? How did they react when you first talked to them about it?
Of course, we always make sure that we have a small project team with some part of the crew, and I have a talk with them also, and they're involved in our early stages. And of course, the crew members who is a part of the project also think it's interesting, and it's funny to work with this kind of thing. So this is very important that they have a positive approach to this. On the other hand, there's of course always some crew members who are concerned. What is this? This is very big. Can this be handled in heavy weather? And what about the manure of the vessel? And so of course, there's always concerns about that. But I think we have a good talk about this. You can see all these concerns and at the end of the day, it also showed that actually there is no big issues with the operation of the rotor sail, and also the vessel perform according to what it did before with respect to maneuverability and operation in high winds and so on. So, but this is important to consider as a part of the project too.
And would you say there was a bit of a learning curve on boards and or for the teams on shore as well?
Not so much in this project. We have had other projects which require much more, you can say, focus from the crew and technical department. Yes, so I would say this was a simple one to install the rotor sail compared to other projects, I would say.
And what were those other projects and what were the challenges then?
We have installed batteries now since 2013, the first one. This requires much more, you can say, focus on the operation to make sure it's done in the right way, make sure it has the right temperature ventilation, and a lot of safety factors also and so on. Compared to a battery installation aboard the vessel, this is much more simple. The battery installation requires much more focus on the operation, the installation, integration with other systems on board, and safety, and a lot of requirement to make sure the batteries are operated in the right way. So use of batteries is much more, if you can say, challenging compared to the rotor sail, which is actually very simple. It's run by itself, and it's not depending on any other systems on board the vessel. So in this respect, the rotor sail is actually a very simple project and easy to install and bring into service.
And so it sounds like you're a first mover in more ways than one. So if I ask you to identify the number one challenge that first movers in the maritime sectors face, what would you say?
I think there's a lot of challenges with new technologies, and of course, if you bring, for example, batteries, as we did in 2013, there's all the legislation and so on. They was not prepared for these kind of new technologies. So very often you see a challenge with the approval of new systems. So this can be very, you can say, time consuming. You don't know where you end and so on. So this is actually a big challenge with new technologies, and especially if you look into the batteries. Now, this has been developed over the more than 10 years, I think, since it's really started to be implemented aboard the vessel. So now it starts getting more common with battery installation, and the rules is in place now, so you knew what to expect and what to do. But if you come up with new technologies, it's definitely a task for first movers to make sure that everything is in good order and could require a lot of tests and approvals, and you don't know the final result if it's actually allowed to install and board the vessel. So this is definitely an issue that is sometimes hard depending on what kind of new technologies you're looking into.
And how would you say this applied to wind propulsion? Did you face the same kind of complexity with the regulation?
We have Lloyd's Register as a classification society on our vessels, and they have actually already guidelines and rules ready for rotor sail. The rotor sail was type approved from the manufacturer, so it was only the integration aboard the vessel that we have to look into. So I think this was a very smooth process for the rotor sail together with the glass and the flag of the vessel. So I think it was quite simple compared to, for example, the battery installation.
Whenever we talk about decarbonisation in shipping, the conversation inevitably goes to incentives, financial support. So do you think governments and financial institutions do enough to support first movers?
Actually, I think there's a lot of possibilities to get support to new projects and so on. You can always discuss if you look into the legislation and rules and so on, if they do enough in order to make sure that there is efficient support to have this handled. Maybe not. But I think on the other hand, it's also the way many of the authorities and classes looking that if there's any risk or any concern, then it's better to have a very conservative approach. And sometimes it's
so if we take your own example, what kind of support was available for your company when you started the battery project or when you started the wind propulsion project? And how difficult was it to navigate that whole administrative process and secure that support?
No, I think we have got subsidies for both the battery installation and on our vessels, and we also got subsidies for our rotor sails installed here. So of course the process is require the right person to look into that. So we have a person in Scandlines who is specialized in that, and we're also using an external company to assist us with this application for subsidies and so on. So it requires some resources, and it's possible, but it's you need probably to get some assistance for that unless you are very skilled in that.
What do you think that governments or financial institutions should do to enable more companies to follow suit and adopt these green fuels or technologies on board?
Of course, at least it is to get support or subsidies for the project, more easy it will be to have the project approved in the companies, I think, because it's at the end of the day, you need to have positive business case if you have to implement new technologies. So of course, you can discuss the return of the investment, how much it should be, but you need to present some kind of business case. And if possible to get subsidies to the new technology, of course, it will be installed faster and you will see the implementation of new technologies go faster.
And how do you demonstrate that business case when you're a first mover and there's not that many other companies that have already installed the technologies and there's not that many industry experience out there?
It depends on the companies you're working together with. Of course, they come with a product and have to ensure that this project they come with is a good one and this can deliver as they have promised. And then, of course, you have a talk with the company, what can they guarantee, and so on, and try to find out if you can make a deal with them. So it's there is some risk, of course, of the ship owner, but also some risk of the company who is delivering the new system. So it's yeah, everybody have to be a part of that and would like to see it a successful outcome. And of course, you try to make a small installation in the beginning if you have a lot of risk. Okay, we see how this is running and is this something that will work? And then you can scale it up in case that you have success. And if not, then you can say, okay, yeah, and we cannot go further with that. This does not fulfill according to our expectation. And you can say this is the same with the batteries. We started up with some small installation and see how this is working and then you scale up. And now we have fully electrical vessels sailing today and we have a new one coming soon also. So it's, I think this is the way we're looking at that.
And how did you build that trust with the either battery suppliers or wind propulsion suppliers? Because there's so many emissions reductions claims out there. How did you build that trust and get that evidence that you needed to go forward?
Of course, you need to have trust in the company in the beginning. This is the first thing, of course, and then I think it's a dialogue with the company that you need to have in order to be convinced that they actually have a good product and they actually are able to do the installation that they have promised. So I think this is cooperation between the new technology. Sometimes it also could be several companies looking into that to have success to have a successful installation. So I think this is important to have trust in the installation before you're doing it and make sure that it's the right people you're working together with that also would like to have success and are able to do it also.
And if we go back to the present time, I'd say it's far from business as usual for Scandlines. I see that you're already busy working on a new zero direct emissions freight ferry, which is expected to arrive at the beginning of 2025. So in a way, you're getting ready to be a first mover again. And I wondered if there were any lessons from your experience with wind propulsion and with battery systems that you will be applying with this new zero emissions project.
Yeah, you can say we have now operated with batteries for more than 10 years. Of course, a lot of this experience that we had for the last 10 years is put into our new project here. So we have trust in operation with batteries. We are sure that it's working, and we have also seen there is actually right now a lot of other ferries that is sailing purely electrical and do charging from shore. So I think this is technology which is already in operation. I think, and into our project, we have just, you can say, tried to do the charging faster and with higher power than seen before. So you can say we just try to optimize the solution that actually already is out there and make it as efficient as possible for our operation.
And a final question for you would be, what would you tell other ship owners who today are hesitant to invest in new green technologies?
Yeah, I think it's hard to avoid doing so because as we see now with the ETS, the fuel EU and so on, so we have to go this way. So I think it's important to look into the projects and see what is possible to do, because at the end of the day, I think it's going to be much more expensive if you do nothing. Everybody have to go this way as I see it.
Rasmus Nielsen, thank you very much.
You're welcome.